Good morning, everyone. I'm glad we got the children in here with us this morning. Easter was always a special time in our family because my mom and dad would do special things on Easter morning. And I remember one particular Sunday morning, we were all dressed up, ready to go to church. And my mom said, I think there's something. We lived on a farm, and our driveway was almost 1/3 of a kilometer long, and it was always muddy and dirty. And outside of the bay window was our little bit of a lawn. And she said, I think there's something out on the lawn for you guys. Well, I think I was about 8 or 9 years old. We ran out front, and there were 3 brand new bicycles. My sister, she's 4.5 years younger than I am. Hers was a little small. I think it still had training wheels on it. I had one that had a banana seat on it, and it was red. And my older brother, who was 4.5 years older than I was, he had a banana seat, but it was white, and he had a brake. But that didn't matter. We just absolutely loved going and being a part of Easter. And so my mom, even though we didn't have very much, she made it very special for us. And I can't help but think about my mom on Easter, because it was her favorite day. And if I heard once, I heard it a dozen times this morning, her favorite hymn, Because He Lives. Because He Lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. Because He lives, my life is worth living. Because He lives. This morning I want to ask you the question, where do you need a resurrection in your life? Is there somewhere in your life where it's dead and you need it brought back to life again? Just give that a thought. Because this morning we're going to look at the very significant question of the resurrection. What difference does it make? I'm glad you're with us this morning. As Tammy said, I'm Bob. I'm the transition pastor. Only transition pastors don't usually stay for almost 3 years. It's my third Easter. I'm trusting that you have somebody else for next Easter, but I'm so glad we're here today. Today, billions of people worldwide are celebrating Easter. In fact, it's the most celebrated event in history. Sorry, I had eye surgery, so I'm in between what I can read and what I can't read. So far, it's working. It's the most celebrated event in history, and it's more than just a nice idea, it's a historical fact. If you really want to dive deep into this, I would encourage you to listen to one of my favorite podcasters right now, Wes Huff, who is a Canadian apologist. He's got extensive evidence about the resurrection. But here is my main anchor this morning, from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In fact, if you want to know anything about the resurrection, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians is the chapter that you go to. Listen to what he says in verses 14 and 17. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then we have nothing to preach and you have nothing to believe. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is a delusion and you are still lost in your sins. You see, Paul says that the resurrection is the cornerstone of Christianity. In the New Testament, there are over 100 references to the resurrection. He says that if Christ has not risen, then you and I have nothing to believe. In fact, there's no point in being here this morning. There's nothing to preach about. All the martyrs died for nothing. All the money spent on churches has been a waste. There is no reason for any of us to be here if Jesus did not come out of the tomb. But then he goes on to write in verse 20, but the truth is that Christ has been raised from death. That means he's alive and he has not changed. Jesus is the only head of a movement who is not in a grave. All the rest are. Research it. The writer of Hebrews said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He hasn't changed, and he's still alive, and he has not changed. What difference does it make? Big deal. An empty tomb. Here's a picture of the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem. I've been there a couple of times. It's an amazing spot. Many believe that's the place where Jesus was buried and raised to life. So what difference does it make? Because Jesus is alive today, we can benefit in three ways. And if you have your outline, I encourage you just to follow along and fill it out. Here's what we want to do. We want to look into these three benefits. First of all, his purpose is still unchangeable. What is Jesus' business? I've come that you might have religion and that I might make you miserable. Or that I've come to dump rules and regulations and make it so that you won't have any fun. Don't do this and don't do that. Don't cuss and don't chew and don't go out with girls that do. Jesus said this, I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. Will you circle the word life in that verse? Have you noticed how many commercials deal with life? Most people aren't living, though. They're just existing. They get up, they scroll their phone, they eat, they go to bed, they eat, they watch TV, they scroll, they eat, they do it all over again every day, day in and day out, and they call that living. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. You're not living unless you know God in your life and understand that he has made you for a purpose. Oscar Wilde said this, the rarest thing in the world is to find somebody who's really alive. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. The word life is used over 200 times in the New Testament. And you might have life, he says, to the fullest. Jesus said, my purposes have not changed. I invite you to come and know Jesus so that you can really live. John 3:17 said, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you. I came to change you. I didn't come to make you feel guilty. I came to relieve the guilt. I didn't come to rub it in. I came to rub it out. Circle the word save. You don't need a good teacher. You need someone to save you. Sin separated you. Sin separated me from God. People sometimes will say, if I really give my life to Christ, then he's just going to restrict me to a bunch of do's and don'ts, and my life will be miserable. When my son was really young, he said to me, Daddy, I really love you, and I want to do what is right. The best words any father could hear from his son. What do you think I said back to him? That's exactly what I've been waiting for, and you're going to regret this day for the rest of your life. I've been waiting for this day when you would make this commitment, and from now on, you're going to do math problems 5 hours a day. You're going to eat Brussels sprouts and liver, and if you smile, I'm going to knock your teeth out. Of course I'm not going to say that. And yet, a lot of people think like that picture of God. If I give my life to God, he will make me do some religious crazy thing. I'll be a kook. Jesus said, my life, my purpose for you is unchangeable. Secondly, my power is still available. Have you ever noticed how many bestsellers or social influencers deal with power? How to get it, how to use it, how to keep it, how we dress for power, how we eat for power, how we shower for power. Even we have power lunches. Everybody's looking for power. Like the prison chaplain who was talking to a guy that was on death row. The man said, Reverend, can you help me out? I need some comfort. I'm being electrocuted tomorrow. Chaplain thought for a moment. put his hands to his chin, and said, "Well, all the power to you." Some of you will get that on Wednesday. Jesus said, "My power is available." Look what Paul records in Ephesians chapter 1. "I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe him. That same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead." You might say, "What do I need power for?" Do you ever feel powerless to change a situation? To change a relationship? Maybe even to change yourself? Do you ever feel powerless to change a habit, a bad one? Nothing is beyond God's power. Sometimes we need power just to start over. Sometimes we need power just to keep going on. Halfway through a project and we run out of steam. Halfway through a career and we wonder if this is all there is. Halfway through a marriage and I think, did I make a mistake? Halfway through parenting and wonder if you're doing it right. Halfway through your life and wonder, what is the use? God gives us not only the starting power to get off dead center and to get my act together in order to make something of myself. He gives me staying power to stay in there, to hang in there, and to keep on keeping on doing what I know I ought to do in the first place. And God has a word for you if you're discouraged this morning. Philippians 4:13 says, I can have the strength to face all the conditions by the power of Christ that he gives me. I'm thankful that I can come to a place like this on Sundays and get my spiritual batteries recharged by meeting with God and by meeting with God's people. I need this. You need this. It gives us an opportunity to focus on what really matters, on what the truth is, and to bring our problems into view of who God is rather than blocking God because our problems are so up close. So what difference does the resurrection make? It makes a big difference because God's power is still available. The same power that busted open the tomb and brought Jesus back to life, that caused history to divide between AD and BC, is available to you and available to me. And the third benefit that we have this morning is that his promises are still reliable. When you read through the New Testament, you will read a lot of incredible promises. Like Jesus said, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Well, that's pretty much a blank check. There are tons of promises in this book for you and for me. And if Jesus were dead, then he could not keep any one of them. But since he's alive, his promises are still reliable. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that he carries out and fulfills all of God's promises, no matter how many of them there are. And circle the word promises, because there are over 7,000 promises. Some people say there's even more. A promise, and you know this, is only as good as the dependability of the person who's made it. How many of you ever had somebody make a promise to you and they've broken it? Put up your hand. How many of you made a promise and you didn't keep it? Put up your hand. It's all dependent on the person who makes it. But look at what 1 Peter says. We have been born again into a new life full of hope through Christ rising again from the dead. You've got to have hope in your life. It's absolutely essential. You cannot cope without hope. At Cornell University, the medical school, Dr. Harold Wolf did a study of 25,000 POWs from World War II. They studied them under the most inhumane conditions and all of the torture that they went through and the mistreatment and the malnourishment and their stress. And they came to one conclusion after studying 25,000 prisoners of war. Men and women can withstand incredible pressure and stress as long as they have hope. But the moment hope is gone, forget it. And hope is usually the last thing that goes. You see, you cannot live without hope. And Peter says that Christ gave us a full life of hope. So what is your source of hope this morning? Is it your RSPs? Your investments? Golf Digest? X? Instagram? TikTok? AI? Is that where your hope is today? Name your hope. Then let me ask you the question. Is it reliable? Is it faultless? I submit to you that there's only one thing that absolutely, totally, completely reliable to the promises of God. Because Jesus is still alive today. And if he said it would happen, you can count on it. Now let me give you a few promises this morning, because we've talked about promises. Just a few. Do you need a financial miracle today? Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Are you putting your hope in the banker or in Christ? What about the most common problem everybody has? Guarantee every one of us will have it: death. John 5 says, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my words and believes in him who has sent me has eternal life, and he will not be judged, but he has already passed from death to life." You see, this is a universal problem. Every one of us is terminally ill. There was an article called The Last Taboo, and it said that society will talk about anything, sex, drugs, raising kids, anything, but people do not talk about death. Don't believe me? Let's go out for lunch, and let's sit and talk about death for the whole lunch. How many would like to sign up for that lunch? Not many. Why don't we like to talk about death? Because it scares us to death. We fear the unknown. The very first words Jesus spoke when he rose from the grave after he has conquered death, he said, "Fear not." There are 365 fear nots in the Bible, one for every day of the year. He said, "Don't be afraid." Jesus said, "Whoever hears my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life, and he will not be judged, but has already passed from death to life." Would you like to skip that judgment? It's like saying you don't have to take the final exam. You can just cruise through the rest of the course. How? "He who believes on me has passed from death to life." He's saying that death is a transfer for Christians to move on to greater things. We just move on. What a greater promise. I remember when my mom was getting close to the end, she was looking forward to being with Jesus. And she said, I want you to know that when I pass from this life to the next, it's graduation day. We just slip through and go from this life into the next. Like the lady when her husband died, put on his tombstone, "The light of my life has gone out." And a few years later, she found new love and got married and went back and added, "I've struck a new match." Jesus says death for the believer is just a transfer. I no longer fear death. I have been freed from this fear to enjoy all that today has to offer. So how can I get that kind of confidence? Well, notice these two verses in your outline that we're going to spend the next couple of minutes on. Romans chapter 10, Paul says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus is saying in Revelation 3:20, here I am, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and have fellowship with him. These two verses tell you what it means to be a Christian. If you're here this morning and this whole Easter thing is new to you, these two verses help you understand what it's all about. A Christian is not somebody who goes to church. Sitting in church won't make you a Christian as much as sitting in a chicken house will make you a chicken. You say you were born in the church. Well, if you were born in a car, would that make you a spare tire? You say you got baptized. You can get baptized in the ocean until every fish knows your name, but that won't get you into heaven. I had a guy tell me, Canada is a Christian nation. I'm a Canadian, therefore I'm a Christian. You said you've joined the church. If you join the Lions Club, does that make you a lion? A Christian is somebody who says, Jesus is Lord. He's number one. He's the boss. He's the manager. He's the CEO, the executive in my life. He calls the shots in my life, and I believe that Jesus is the Lord and that he's alive today. He's still around, and that's what it means to be a Christian. Jesus says, because I'm alive, I'm standing at the door of your life knocking, and if you open the door, I will come in. It is that simple. Jesus made it so simple, nobody could say it was too hard to understand. He said, just trust me. Even a little child could understand that. Jesus Christ put your spirit in my life. It's so simple, but we complicate it and make it so hard. And you could make that decision this morning to say yes to him if you've never done it before. So let me return back to the original question I started with. So what difference does it make that Jesus Christ rose from the dead 2,000 years ago? The answer is absolutely nothing unless you take advantage of the benefits of it. Unless you establish a relationship with him because he's alive today. Otherwise, it doesn't mean anything to you. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm talking about a relationship. You may be Catholic, you may be Protestant, you may be Jewish, you may be Baptist, you may be Buddhist, you may be Mormon, or nothing, or Hindu, or whatever. I'm not talking about a religion. Religion is man's attempt to get to God, and Jesus Christ is God's attempt to get to man. Jesus said, I don't want a religion. I don't come to give you religion. I came to give you life. I have a relationship I want to have with you. I want to know you every day. So let me summarize a couple of very simple facts for you. Fact number one, God made this world. I just heard this morning the people that are circling in space. Somebody gave an Easter message this morning from space and said they had such an interesting perspective of the world. He knew God created it. The second fact is that God made you. Another fact is that God has not made you by accident. There's no such thing as illegitimate children. There are only illegitimate parents, but not illegitimate children. God made you for a purpose. He saw you before you were born. And you were put on earth, not just to take up space and to breathe and to retire and to die, but to make you for a purpose. People think success means fame, but you can be famous and you can still be a dud. You can be wealthy and not be successful. Success means understanding God's purpose and being right in the center of it. God made you, and he made you for a purpose. Another fact is that you have made mistakes. Nobody's perfect. We've all blown it. I've sinned, you've sinned. I've never met anybody who claimed perfection. I've fallen short of my own standards, much less God's. I don't please myself, much less please God's perfection. The fact is, I need a Savior. And you do too. Another fact is that Jesus Christ is God, and he came to earth 2,000 years to go to show you what God is like. If God wanted to communicate with dogs, he would have come as a dog. If God wanted to communicate with birds, he would have come and became a bird. But God wanted to communicate with people, so he became a person. Jesus said, if you've ever seen me, you've seen my Father. I can relate to that. I can't relate to some gooey mess in the sky, but I can look in Christ and say, if that's what God is like, I can understand that. Another fact that we sang about this morning is that Jesus Christ was crucified on a cross. What incredible service you had here on Friday. Huge thanks to the team. You did an amazing job. Somehow in God's plan, he took the penalty for everything I've ever done and what you've done wrong. You may not understand it all, but you can accept it because the Bible teaches it very clearly. Because he died for us, we must open our lives to build a relationship with him. That comes by confessing that he is the Son of God, by believing the plan of God to forgive our sins so we can have a relationship with him, and then we surrender to him and we learn how to follow him. And then the last fact is that he rose again. And that's why billions of people around the world will celebrate Easter. Those are the facts. And there's another fact I want to close with. He's here today. And he wants to get to know you. The fact is, he knew you'd be in this service before you were even born. The fact is that he loves you and cares for you, and he has a plan for your life. He brought you here today so that if you've never made this decision before, today you can make it. So will you pray with me? We don't ever do anything to embarrass people in this church or scare you or make you uptight. God loves you so much, and he loves you more than you will ever know. And even before you even thought of him, he's been thinking constantly about you. Jesus Christ is alive today because he is God and his purpose is unchangeable, and he wants you to experience life to the fullest, the way that you were meant to live. He sees the potential in your life because he made you. His purpose is unchangeable and his power is available. Do you need some starting over power this morning? Are you in the middle of a failure? A failed career? Failed marriage? Failing relationship? Failing finances? Failure is never final unless you allow it to be. You'll never be a failure until you quit. And it's never too late to start over. That's what the Bible says by being born again. Reincarnation? No, that's not what he's talking about. Starting over, getting another chance, a fresh start. Do you need staying power? Some of you are caught in a situation where you can't get out of it and you can't get on with it, and it's frustrating. His purpose is unchangeable, his power is available, and his promises are reliable, and he promises to help you if you give him your life. He promises to save you if you'll just trust him. Just talk to him right now. In your heart, you don't have to say anything out loud. God knows your heart. He knows the very thoughts coming across your mind right now because he made you. And what do you say? Well, it doesn't matter what you say as much as the attitude of your heart. Talk to him in your heart. something like this: God, I realize that I made a lot of mistakes. I've done things wrong, and I'm sure I've done things that displease you. I ask you to forgive me. Jesus, I believe that you are alive today. I may not understand how much you're alive, but as much as I know how, I ask you to come into my life. You say you're standing at the door knocking, and I hear your voice. I want to open the door to my life right now. Jesus, come in. I want to believe in you. I want you to be number one in my life. I need your power. I need your promises. I need your purpose for my life. And some of you need to pray, Jesus Christ, I'm not even sure if I'm saved or not. Remember, I'm not talking about a religion. You may be a church member, a great person, but do you have a personal relationship with God? Say, Jesus, I'm not sure if I'm saved or not, but if I'm not, I'm asking you to come in to save me today. I'm not sure if I've ever made that commitment or not. I've been to church. My parents were in church. If I'm not, I want to settle that today. There's no reason for any person to go out of here doubting about their salvation. Just simply say, I want to put my total trust in you. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Count on it. I didn't say that. Jesus said it. God said it. I made a decision like this when I was 17 years old. I don't understand it all, but I'm turning my life over to you. Today you can say yes to God. And if you do, that's great. That's the first step. And if you've said yes, I've got a gift for you. We'll talk about it at the end. Now you need to grow in your relationship with God and your understanding of it. And that's what the purpose of our church and every Bible-believing church is, to help you grow. And I want to encourage you to get involved in a church. If not Circle Drive, find a place. We welcome you here if you don't have a church home. And Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you're alive today, Jesus Christ. And the difference that it makes is tremendous. Thank you that today many, many have opened their hearts to you. And thank you. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. If you said yes this morning to Jesus, at the end of the service, over where our prayer team is, they have a special gift that they want to give to you. It says, so you said yes. It is a way for you to start your relationship with God. And we'd love to give you that. And if you don't have a Bible, we'd like to give that to you too. And I'd like to start by end by welcoming you to come back as we start a new series next week called Building Families God's Way. We're going to look at the Ten Commandments as our foundation. Have you ever wondered what God says about how to raise your family or the values that as a parent you should live by? Come back and let's discover that together next week. God bless you. Have a great day.